fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Okay. I'm reloaded. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP, doing what I do for you all day, every day here on Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's Saturday's edition. We have a special edition for you guys. I mean, it's a lot of stuff going on today. We're going to talk about getting popped for pot. We're going to talk about a fantasy draft that's going on right now. One person thinks he's superior. He won the league last year, so we know he's going to talk a little trash. He's a piece of trash himself, but he's still my friend, and he's going to come on here and talk about Nest AT&T and money. We're also going to discuss the world of sports, like what's going on, what's happening.
Not much, man. Let me make this contribution to my 2014 championship team. Welcome to my championship team, Mr. Dennis Pitta.
Okay.
I kind of knew he was going to take it. He shouldn't have lasted that long, but that's okay. Yeah. That's okay.
Only reason why I didn't get Terrence Williams is because I have two receivers already on the same bye week. I can't have a third. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the middle of a live draft. Last year, JTATM Money was the winner of the league.
Wait a minute. Say that again? I like the sound of that. Say that again.
You know what? You're such a beast.
say that last again, year. Because it has to. You should say this. JTATM Money, champion of the league, not just winner, champion. Champion.
He's a peon. He is a peon, ladies and gentlemen. I will admit that. He is a peon, a champion. So we'll go with that. And my guy, Marquise Colson, just went off a board. I don't know if you can hear the chime. So what we're going to do is we've got an hour and a half. I'll probably get to the Keith Van Horn interview that was conducted earlier this week by myself, and we'll play that. It was for our Fantasy Sports and Politics Cruise Show this past Thursday. So we'll probably get to that. If not, we'll get to talk about all this great football stuff and some IDPs and all that other goodness. But right now, I'm going to call out everybody in the fantasy sport in the fantasy football league, guys with big shoes. I'm talking about these teams, and I'm going to call their names. Say when Victor Espinoza, who's getting Gronk, Joe Mazzoni, Master Blasters, Archie Kelly, our freaking, the guy that holds the money. No, that's not the guy that holds the money. But all the way for six, Roll Tide, the illustrious commissioner, Duke, 1-800-STUD-SERVICE, the jerk that I'm on the phone with right now, but he's my co-host, he's my guy, Jerry, Texas Thunder.
And what is that? What is it? Texas Thunder.
Whatever.
Dallas coming down Cowboys. On you. Coming
Dallas
down
Cowboys.
On you.
Can I
I'm psyched.
You
this is my time of year, and I'm psyched, man. I'm so pumped up. I don't even let you get in the word in edgewise. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, man. I see that.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, man. My boy Tavon Austin just got picked away from me along with Marcus Colston. But anyway, who else? Dallas Cowboys is Donnell Johnson. Kicking Asterix, Jason Weber, BMF, Will Pacheco, who's the treasurer, but he has dial-up for internet service because he's going to end up the draft.
Figure that one out.
And, Dan Perez. No, Dan, excuse me, Dan is the treasurer, and he's the one who's going in and out. Sean O'Keefe, Sirius XM Eagles, and then myself, Fantasy Sports and Politics, Lincoln Dye. I'm going to change that name actually to Mr. FSP to you. But what I want to do right now, real quickly, Jerry, is go over our picks. And we're in the 10th round right now. No, we're in the 10th, headed to the 11th. We're in the 9th, headed to the 10th. And you don't have to go by the order in which you pick them, but, you know, just go by your picks.
I'm loving my team. Take it from the number 6 in the first round, and then the snake draft after that. Matt Forte, who I never thought was going to drop to me there. Monte Ball. Antonio Brown, my mainstay. I got him back. I can't believe I got him back. Your boy, the number one receiver, Pierre Garçon. Dennis Pitta, which is Flacco's BFF. Andre Ellington, which I absolutely love this year in that offense.
Yeah.
Along with Michael Floyd in that offense. I can't believe I got these guys. And Rashad Jennings from the Giants, who looked one of the better looking Giants on that offense. And I just picked up, and I think this guy's going to have a big year. He's going to be Mr. Touchdown in the end zone, Justin Hunter from Tennessee. I'm loving my team, and I have yet to pick a quarterback. Check that out, people. Just listen to what I'm saying. I have yet, going into the 10th round, to pick a quarterback. Learn. Watch and learn, Vic. Watch and learn. That's all I can tell you.
There's two things I'm going to tell Jerry right now. Jerry, you drafted a whole bunch of potential, and it's great to have that potential. You have a couple of guys that are pretty good, but I don't think that it's a championship team, in my opinion. Now, I'm going to go over my team real quick because I'm about to also make a pick. I had the luxury of having the 12th pick in the whole 12-team league, and unfortunately for me, both the players I wanted went right back-to-back, and I just stole one of Jerry's quarterbacks, Big Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm also going to steal. I'm going to take this defense. It's going to be a little suspect this year, only because I think the loss of Carlos Dansby. But I still like them. But my team thus far, my first two picks, because I had back-to-back picks, 12 and 13, were Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant. Again, I was targeting either one of the three, and it's crazy how all three of them went back-to-back-to-back or just ahead of me. I was targeting either Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, and both of them went back-to-back before my pick. But, again, I got Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant. Then I followed that up with getting Le'Veon Bell and Julius Thomas. After that, I went and got, Eric Decker and then Robert Griffin III. I got Toby Gerhardt and Eric Decker, then Robert Griffin III and Maurice Jones-Drew. And then I just finished that up with the Cardinals defense and Ben Roethlisberger. Now, here's the deal. This league ends, I think, week 12 or week 13. I'm not sure which one ends on week 11. All of my players except for two.
Son of a bitch.
Actually, what? What?
You took my quarterback.
I told the world that.
I know you did. I know you did. But that's okay because I had a backup plan. But that's okay. I got a backup plan because I think this guy is going to have a good year too. So I got a backup plan.
All right, but right now we're going over this draft that we're doing. I want to invite anybody that wants to listen into the program and chime in on their thoughts. You can call in at 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. You can call in if you're listening to us. If you're in the draft room, you want to talk trash about the team, because that's what I'm about to do. I'm about to talk trash about all these people's teams. I honestly think, I have the best team. although I was targeting Russell Wilson along with RG3 once Matt Ryan and the other quarterbacks went off the board that I wanted. I wanted those top three or Matt Ryan. And all four went off the board, so I was going to pick RG3 and Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson was also picked directly before I was going to pick. Go figure. So that is that. Now, listen, this show is brought to you by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners win and players play. So come to, or go there today and place your wagers so you can get paid. A guy that just got picked that I thought I was going to be able to slip and get was Riley Cooper. I was just about to queue him up, and somebody took him. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. I think when you look at what's going on in the NFL, how they're not a run-oriented offense. It's passing. It's straight passing. And you got a lot of folks that get stuck on these quarterbacks and da-da-da-da-da. I think that you can, like Jerry, although he's going to the 10th round with it, I think that's a bad move on his part because now he's going to probably have Alex Smith or somebody like that. I don't know.
No, I picked up Carson Palmer in a passing offense. So I'm fine.
So you have three Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
Three of their four major cogs. That's not
yep.
bad, but that also says that you're believing they're going to score a lot, and when they don't, your team is going to suffer.
Not really, because you got to understand something here. My main guns, besides the quarterback, are Matt Forte and Monte Ball, and receivers are Antonio Brown and Pierre Garçon. My bench players, my backup, Andre Ellington and Michael Floyd, for those positions. So, what are you talking about? My backup can be starters on some fantasy teams. Absolutely. So I don't know what you're talking about. Don't know what you're talking about. All I have to do is tell you, watch and learn. That's all I have to tell you to do.
I believe you are mistaken in your thought process. But, again, who am I to talk about the champion?
That, exactly. I was just about to say that. I was just about to say that.
You got a weak team.
You have second guess along with – some of the rest of the family in the FSP about my thought process. And over again, I've been wrong at times, but over and over again, when I'm adamant about something, it works. At times, yeah, because no one's perfect, but when any time you guys say I'm off the beaten path or this doesn't make sense, in the end, it makes sense. So I'm just saying.
I'm not doubting your intelligence. What I'm doubting is this year's draft. Being in the middle of the draft kind of sucks for you, mainly because as the champion, you know, you have an opportunity to repeat, quite honestly. I'm not going to lie. You have an opportunity to do that. However, I think you've made some fatal flaws in your drafting.
This is only the beginning of the process.
I understand that. I really do. I still think you're a little loose in certain areas, but
okay.
Who do you plan to be your backup since you already got – is your backup on a high-powered offense or is your backup a conservative offensive base? Or the guy you're targeting?
Well I got time,
right now.
But I'm going to take this guy because I really believe this guy is going to be playing soon, and he may supplant one of my starters.
Devontae Freeman. Well, you got a handcuff. You got a handcuff, which is good. I think that's a pretty decent pick there. Not the guy I was going to get, because the guy I was going to get, hopefully it gets to me and I'm able to pick him up, because we're coming to the end of this draft, so it's nowhere in the world we're going to stay all day on the show in this draft. Well, one of my guys just got picked, which was
Rudolph. I hate that sound. I hate that sound. It hit me twice in this draft, and both times,
well,
and I'll admit it, both times you have done it to me. You took Julius Thomas, and you took Ben Roethlisberger, but that's okay, because like I said, any good drafter has a backup plan. So
of course,
that's all right.
Of course, And as with any good, you know, drafter, you know, you got to get somebody that you think is going to step up and be that person. And, you know, I'm looking at what I got here, and I'm trying to draft for the future, so to speak, so, and meaning for bye weeks. So my last couple picks are going to be guys that they may or may not give me what I want, but they're going to cover my bye week blues. And I got 20 seconds left here. Got a couple guys.
All I know is week 4 and week 9. I'm going to be not. I wouldn't say scrambling, but I'm heavy in week 4 and week 9. So it is what it is.
Well, week 11 and week 12 are my heavies, and if I get a bye week, I believe we have a bye week, week 12, for the division winner. I'll be fine because that's when I have Ben on bye, I have Le'Veon on bye. Now, week 11 is, I believe, the last week of the season where I have Toby Gerhart, Dez Bryant, and Eric Decker on bye. But other than that, it's been cool. I think I'll skate. Right now, I just picked up, because I don't know if you told people, the players you picked up, I picked up Kelvin Benjamin from Carolina.
No, that Carlos Hyde, Kelvin Benjamin, is that what you picked up?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good pick.
Carlos
Hyde,
Kelvin Benjamin.
I like those pickups.
I think they'll be the only two rookies on my team, but, you know, nonetheless, they'll be there. I'm targeting another, maybe one more rookie, but I'm not sure if I want to do it.
There's so many choices out here. Wow. There's so many choices. Oh, my God.
Well, what are you looking for?
Never mind.
Your pick's about to come up. So
yeah, I know. For? I know it. There's so many. Do I want to go? Oh, there he is. Oh, my God. Yes. Steve Smith.
You know, I like that Steve
no
Smith.
No way. I think this guy's going to be better than Steve Smith. I think this guy's going to be better than Steve Smith. So I'm taking this guy here. Oh, my God. I can't believe he's still sitting there. Why can? Because he's pretty much an afterthought.
Pick him. Reuben Randle. Okay. I like Reuben Randle because right now he's got the most chemistry other than Cruz with Eli, but I don't like Eli. And I don't like what's going to happen up there in New York. So you can keep that player right there. A guy that I wanted, but I didn't get. I was debating between Danny Amendola and Kelvin Benjamin. The reason why is because I know Amendola is going to be targeted. However, is he going to stay healthy? That's the question. With Benjamin, he's a rookie. He's a big guy. He's the red zone target for your boy Cam Newton. And Cam has shown that he wants to target him a lot. So he's a big body that can, you know, get open and do jump balls. So that's an option there. So all my receivers are tall. I've got Decker. I've got Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, and Kelvin Benjamin. I've got Twin Towers here sitting in my lineup. I'm not going after another receiver. I only have one bench player left and one kicker to get. So, and this draft is coming to an end. And my plan is to go over everybody's team real quick, if possible. So, Mr. Taylor, I want to get ready and do that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, just hold on a minute. I'm in the middle of something here, trying to figure a few things out.
You're in the middle of something there.
I'm listening. Go ahead. I'm listening. What is that you want to do?
Go over other teams real quick. I already know who I have set, and if they fly off my board, they fly off my board. I'm not going to be, you know, tripping or nothing like that. It's not a big deal. So what I'm going to do is, while this draft is still going on, I'm going to Martellus Bennett is gone. I wanted him. As my backup to Julius Thomas. But anyway, let's go over these teams real quick. I'm going to go over our proud commissioner's team, which is 1-800-STUD-SERVICE. If I can find him, where is he at here? 1-800-STUD-SERVICE. He currently has Aaron Rodgers, Zach Stacy, C.J. Spiller, Brandon Marshall, Torrey Smith, Jordan Reed, 49ers defense, Dan Bailey, Fred Jackson, Terrence Williams, Bernard Pierce, and Joe Flacco. I like his wide receiver connection there between Joe Flacco and Torrey Smith, even though I don't like Torrey Smith. I think Flacco should have a good year under Gary Kubiak because he does a lot of play action. His team is pretty balanced. I don't like it as a form of championship material, but you never know in fantasy football. The people you think is going to stand out don't. And the ones that stand out are surprises, you know, most times. Go over the Master Blasters real quick while Jerry makes his pick, and then Jerry can tell us about his team. Master Blasters has Andrew Luck, Jamal Charles, DeMarco Murray, Vincent Jackson, Victor Cruz, Charles Clay, Nick Novak, Julian Edelman, Steven Jackson, Tavon Austin, Phillip Rivers, Riley Cooper, and Jared Boykin. He's left to get a defense. Jerry, you just made a pick, an interesting pick, because, again, I believe you're doing a lot of potential with these picks. Tell the people who you picked and your team as it rounds out.
Right now, I've just picked the Baltimore Ravens defense, which I think is not the strongest of defense, but my theory is this. I'm picking defense to – I'm probably going to be streaming from week to week. But this is a good defense to go up against first week. So I'm going to roll with them the first week and see how it pans out. My team is, quite naturally, I'll say it again, Carson Palmer, Matt Forte, Monte Ball, Antonio Brown, Pierre Garçon, Dennis Pitta, Ravens defense. Andre Ellington is on my bench along with Michael Floyd, Rashard Jennings, Justin Hunter, rookie Devonta Freeman, and Reuben Randall rounds out my bench.
Which is not bad. It's not bad. I mean, I don't think it's a championship team, honestly. And I'm not being, you know, Mr. Putting on coattails and like that. I'm being serious here. It's a good team. I just don't think it's a championship team.
Say it again.
I don't think it's a championship team. I'm going to say mine is, of course. But I think it's a contender. It's a contender. And hopefully when Duke when we finish the draft and Duke publishes the grades, you'll see that. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit it on this show if we have live air doing it, but I doubt if I'm wrong. Again, I'm about to make a pick, but one of my players was just picked, and that means I'm going to pick up Delanie Walker as my backup tight end.
Oh, there he is.
And I'm going to finish with a kicker. Now, the kicker I'm going to get, he's on a team that's going to score a lot of points. A lot of points this year. Under Norv Turner. Talking about Blair Walsh. Had a bye week 10, and I finished my draft. But let me go down these teams real quick. Spanking your ass again. He has Drew Brees, Ben Tate, Ryan Matthews, Demaryius Thomas, Roddy White, Jason Witten, the Bills defense, Steven Beskowski, Russell Wilson, Shane Vereen, Kyle Rudolph, Danny Amendola, and Adam Vinatieri. He has pretty much everyone on his bench by week 10. Everybody on his bench except for Russell Wilson has a bye week 10. Now, this is a problem because he also has Ryan Matthews on bye week 10, who's in his starting lineup. So right there, he's either going to have to drop a player to pick up a player because even his receivers on his bench have a bye week of week 10. So he has a good team, but that is the flaw. I don't know if he saw that or if he just didn't care. We'll go to my team. My team is Robert Griffin III, Le'Veon Bell, Toby Gerhart, Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, Julius Thomas, the Cardinals defense, Blair Walsh,
damn it,
Maurice Jones-Drew, Eric Decker. You want to feel Dawson, huh? Ben Roethlisberger, Carlos Hyde, Kevin Benjamin, and Delanie Walker. Jerry is about to come up with his last pick, and I think he had Phil Dawson queued up, and he got taken. I'm quite sure he didn't have Jeremy Hill lined up, but we'll
Phil Dawson, Phil Dawson, one of the most accurate kickers in the league, on a team that's going to be in a, maybe not be a high scoring team, but the team that's going to get in or near the red zone or within field goal distance quite a bit. So
I agree with you. The only problem is he missed his last two. He missed his last two decent-sized field goals, and that wasn't a good sign, especially going into the last couple weeks of preseason. He should be getting all of those.
Do I want him?
I don't know.
Is he there? Is he? Yes. I think I'll take him. He's in a high-powered offense, and he's going to get a lot of opportunities. I'll take him.
And you pick?
Alex Henry from the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right. That will conclude that portion of the draft. Let me finish going down these teams real quick. SiriusXM Eagles has a pretty decent team, in my opinion. A lot of upside, but there's potential for injuries at every corner. Peyton Manning, Frank Gore, Trent Richardson, Andre Johnson, Percy Harvin, Jimmy Graham, the Chiefs defense, Steven Hauschka, Jeremy Maclin, Jay Cutler, Noshon Marino, DeAndre Hopkins, Zach Ertz, and Sean Green. Now, I noticed that he picked up both the Texans wide receivers, but I really wouldn't touch them because I'm not sure about Fitzpatrick or anybody else.
Well, you're going to be mistaken here, because it's not going to be a high-powered offense, but it's going to be decent. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to look for these guys along with Arian Foster. But that's neither here nor there. Everybody's down on the Texans, and I can understand that. And I'm talking as a Texan fan, but they're going to surprise some people. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm not saying he's all world, but he's going to be a serviceable quarterback. That's all I can say about that. I don't like this guy's team. I do not like this guy's team. I like Peyton Manning. I like Jimmy Graham. And that's it. Andre Johnson, he's borderline. He's a very good wide receiver. I understand that. He's not a top. He's probably a top 10 or close to it. But Percy Harvin, he's going to get hurt. Plain and simple. There's no two ways about it. He's going to get hurt. Jeremy Maclin, in high-powered offense, he's coming off an ACL. Noshon Marino, the only good year he had was when he played last year with Peyton Manning. Otherwise than that, he's basically been a bust. He's got Jimmy Graham already, so I wouldn't have picked up Zach Ertz as a second tight end. I would have waited.
Well, it's the bye week, dude, because he has an early bye week.
You can always pick up a tight end for that. Now you just wasted a spot on your bench that you could pick somebody else up. He may wind up dropping Zach Ertz. Jimmy Graham and Zach Ertz had two different bye weeks. I understand that. Don't like Sean Green. Sean Green came off a knee surgery, and he's still got issues. Don't know what you're going to get from him. Only few guys I like it, solid guys that you know you're going to get solid points from is Peyton Manning and Jimmy Graham. Otherwise than that, this is issues. All these running backs, wide receivers, there's always some type of issue with them. Frank Gore, old, he may not even last the season. Trent Richardson, this is put up or shut up year for Trent Richardson. So he's going on potential for that. Like I said, Percy Harvin, I don't need to say anything about Percy Harvin. I don't think the Chiefs' defense is going to be as good as it was last year. They have a harder schedule compared to last year. Jay Cutler, you got Jay Cutler, for the bye week? I understand that because that's, in my opinion, await sitting Jay Cutler there, because he's probably going to rack up some decent points in that Matt Tressman offense. And I would have picked up somebody else on the skill side other than these guys. He'd got named guys, but named guys that have issues. That's the problem.
I mean, I understand that, and I agree with you. They have issues, and that's why I said that I'm not too high on that. I mean, he has good potential, but I don't see it being a championship team. A better contender than most, but not a championship team. Now I go to the Texan Thunder. Let me call off this team so everybody can hear it. Carson Palmer, Matt Forte, Monte Ball, Antonio Brown, Pierre Garçon, Dennis Pitta, the Ravens defense, Alex Henry, Andre Ellington, Michael Floyd, Rashad James, Justin Hunter, Devontae Freeman, and Ruben Randall. You went receiver heavy on your bench. Week 8 and 9 are pretty much your bad weeks from what I can tell, because you have more people on bye that week. However, you lose your tight end and your defense week 11, which happens to be the final week of the regular season. Maybe not a big deal. I do like your receiver set, Antonio Brown and Pierre Garçon. Running backs, Matt Forte is better. And I was surprised he drops you at number 6. I was very surprised at that, but that's a good pick. Monty Ball, great upside, but we'll see what happens there. Carson is okay. I noticed you didn't get a backup. I guess that's because you think you're going to grab a decent one off the waivers, or you're going to try to make some trades. I'm not sure, because Carson has a bye week in week 4, and you're going to need a replacement pretty quickly. And he has his ups and downs. That's the danger of waiting until the 10th or 11th round to pick up a quarterback. But, hey, as I say, it's a contender. I don't think it's a repeat championship team, but it's a contender. Of course, you're going to think and say differently. Next team up, all the way for 6. Colin Kaepernick, Eddie Lacy, Alfred Morris. And I really like this team. They're starters anyway.
Who's this?
Other than Kaepernick. This is all the way for 6. Other than their starting quarterback, I like his team. There's Colin Kaepernick, Eddie Lacy, Alfred Morris, Julio Jones, DeSean Jackson, Greg Olsen, the Broncos defense, Nick Folk, Marquise Colston, Bishop Sankey, Pierre Thomas, Cecil Short, Kyrie Robinson, and Chris Ivory. He went running back heavy on his bench. Only has two receivers. I believe he subscribes to your mindset of not drafting a backup quarterback because you can grab one on waivers, but that quarterback can be vital, especially going toward the end of the season in this league. I like his starters. A little suspect on Kaepernick because I don't think he's going to be the throwing powerhouse that everybody thinks he's going to be. I really don't. You know, they have a lot more weapons, but
okay.
I've seen him. He locks in and he throws the ball pretty well. However, he's got this, I'm going to get the ball to this person regardless. And this is the person I'm predetermined before I even break the huddle who I'm throwing the ball to, which can be good. It can be good, but I'm not sold on it. But what are your thoughts on this team?
He has a pretty decent team. I'm higher on Colin Kaepernick than you are, that's for sure. He was playing with an injury for the greater part of last year. That's why his running wasn't as dynamic. He's totally healthy now. I think he's going to be surprising a few people. And he's got a year under his belt. He's going to be doing he's got better options in the passing game. And he's got a decent running. He's got a good running game. He's got, I mean, he's one of the better offensive lines in the league. So Colin Kaepernick, I love Eddie Lacy. I think Eddie Lacy with Aaron Rodgers in full health is going to have a monster season. I'm not too high on Alfred Morris. Maybe some people are, but I'm not too high on Alfred Morris. Julio Jones, part of a dynamic duo. That's one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL and in fantasy, for that matter. I like Julio Jones. Not too high on DeSean Jackson. He's a boom or bust type of guy. He can give you a 60-yard touchdown, or he gives you nothing, and you never know what you're going to get from him. Greg Olsen is going to be probably the number one option for Cam Newton. So I really like Greg Olsen. And he had a lot of pickings in tight ends. Tight ends is very deep, along with quarterbacks. And I like Marcus Colson. I think Lance, I forget his last name, from the New Orleans Saints is not there anymore, and neither is Darren Sproles. I know they got some replacements for that, but Marquise Colson is like a BFF besides Jimmy Graham for Drew Brees. He loves throwing to Marcus Colson, and I think that's going to continue. Bishop Stanky is a very good running back who's got fumbling issues. So hopefully he can iron them out by the time the season starts. Otherwise, Sean Green may bite into what people would think he would be getting. I had an opportunity to go to Bishop Stanky or Devonta Freeman, and I'm looking at the upside. Now, Bishop Stanky, or Sankey, I should say, can be the number one back, and Sean Green could be the relief for him. And it would make sense to go to Bishop Sankey because he would be the number one back. But my thinking is this. Steven Jackson is a 31-year-old running back in a dynamic offense who's very injury-prone and has a dynamic and highly thought of in training camp, Devonta Freeman. So I think I would rather have Devonta Freeman versus Bishop Sankey. So that's my thinking. I picked up Devonta Freeman. Pierre Thomas, he's very underrated. He's going to be used a lot. Cecil Shorts in that offense, I'm not sure about whether it's Chad Henne or Blake Bortles. Kerry Robinson, he's got two running backs from the same team. I don't know why he did that. And then he got Chris Ivory, who I think is probably what I saw yesterday, looked more dynamic running the ball than Chris Johnson. So he's got, like you said, he's running back heavy, and he's got four wide receivers, and he's got six, I think, running backs. So his team is okay. It's a contending team, but it's got flaws. I mean, every team's not perfect, but this team's really got some flaws.
I think so.
Sorry for taking so long.
I agree with you. Like I said, I like his starting lineup, but I don't like his bench. Going on to say when, it's a decent lineup, but I'm not sold on it. He has Tom Brady, Shady McCoy, Reggie Wayne, Larry Fitz, Sammy Watkins, Martellus Bennett, the Seahawks defense, Mason Crosby, Nick Foles, D'Angelo Williams, Dwayne Bowe, Darren McFadden, Donald Brown, and Josh Gordon. Then he kind of wasted that pick on Josh Gordon because he's I really think he's going to be out the whole year. But that's somebody you can drop if need be anyway. I like his team. I really do. I don't like the fact that he's going with the three wide receiver set, mainly because receivers are dependent on the quarterback. And Sammy Watkins is banged up a little bit with the ribs already, and I've noticed that Emmanuel likes to go to a former Tampa Bay Buccaneer who's now up there in Buffalo. Can't remember his name right now to save my life, but...
Who? It's not E.J. Manuel, it's the quarterback.
Emmanuel, but he likes to throw to my man Mike Williams, actually. It's Mike Williams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that. So I don't know if Sammy's going to have the type of production that Say Wynn is expecting. He might do well, but I don't think he's going to have the type of production that he wants. But I like his lineup, except for a couple of things. I mean, he has the Hawks defense. I like Shady. Reggie Wayne looks good coming off of the ACL, but I still wouldn't put him as my number one receiver or my number two receiver. Larry Fitz is going to be dynamic again this year, I hope. I like it, but I'm not in love with it. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but mm-hmm. that's where I am with that team. What do you think, real quick?
Well, I'm looking at his lineup, and I'm shaking my head. He's got LeSean McCoy and nothing else. I'm being plain honest here. Maybe Tom Brady and maybe Larry Fitz. I don't trust Reggie Wayne. I shouldn't say don't trust him, but I don't think he's going to be consistent. Very few rookie quarterbacks succeed and usually succeed if they have a very good quarterback. So I don't like Sammy Watkins. Martellus Bennett, he can be boom or bust from week to week. D'Angelo Williams, you know the story with the running backs in Carolina. They have a try. They have triplets. So you never know who's going to be the one that's going to have the points for the week. Dwayne Bowe, you got Alex Smith thrown to him. He didn't have a good year last year. Darren McFadden, a injury waiting to happen. Donald Brown's to a new team. He may pan out as a decent running back, and he may decide to go on with only two wide receivers and throw a running back up there. And then he's got Josh Gordon, who God knows what he's going to do. But you know what? Whenever he got him, I think he got him in the last pick or whatever it was, one of the last three picks, which is fine. He's on the bottom of your bench.
Josh Gordon, he was the very last pick of the draft.
Yeah. Which is perfect because I was remiss and forgot all about it because that's one of the wide receivers I was going to take just for a flyer because I don't think he's going to get suspended a whole year. I could be wrong, but it's a speculation pick. So putting it down there as whenever if he's playing this year, you can pencil it. You can put him in, and you know you're going to get solid production from him. He's quarterback. Doesn't make a difference what quarterback is in there. So that was an excellent pick on his part as the last pick in the draft and a speculation pick. But the only surefire guys that I have in here that I see is LeSean McCoy and Tom Brady and on the outside, and not too far on the outside, Larry Fitz. Otherwise, okay. I don't like his team. Don't like his team.
That's understandable.
Do not
Jeff
like his
in,
team. Huh?
Jeff is in the chat room listening in. He says he's got a draft at 3 p.m. Eastern, so he's trying to relax before then. So, of course, the Joker's trying to get a little help from his podcast mates. I want to give a big shout-out to Jeff up there in the chat room.
What's up, Jeff?
You might want to call. Yeah, you can call him if you want. But let's move on. We got two teams left, and I do not like the Dallas Cowboys. Let me make this clear. But the team in our league, Dallas Cowboys, I think it's pretty balanced. I think it's pretty balanced, and I might be seeing them in the championship. But here's his team: Cam Newton, Marshawn Lynch, Reggie Bush, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Crabtree, Rob Gronkowski. The Panthers, Matt Prater, Darren Sproles, Anquan Boldin, Danny Woodhead, Steve Smith, Mark Ingram, and Greg Jennings. He has a couple issues I see at week 10. And matter of fact, T.Y., Rob, Gronkowski, Danny Woodhead, and Greg Jennings are out week 10. Week 11, he only has one person, but week 12, and if he gets a bye week, he'll be okay. Week 12, he has Cam Newton and the Panthers defense out. I mean, I'm in a very similar situation. Week 10 is only one person, but week 12 have like three or four people. A couple are vital, but I have the replacements. But I think he has a decent team. He has some wiggle room that he can drop. You know, if he makes it to the playoffs, then he's going to have to find a replacement for Cam. But if not, all season long, he's good with Cam Newton. And he doesn't have to worry about that, so I kind of like that pick. I would have done the same thing, but RG3, he's hobbling around, and I'm not too happy about that. So I had to pick Ben Roethlisberger as my backup, or a backup quarterback, because I plan to do the same thing, but one quarterback. Since
you
I
want to trade?
In so early. Depends. Depends what you're offering. But talk to me a little bit about what you see the Dallas Cowboys team looking like. Look at him, Jeff, trying to offer me a trade already.
Why not? It never hurts. It doesn't cost anything to offer.
Yeah.
Cam Newton. I'm not too high on Cam Newton. He could be a boom or bust. Even though he was pretty much in the same situation he is in this year, but now he has the rookie wide receiver. Most of his receivers are gone, and now he's got a new crop of wide receivers, and his only mainstay is the tight end. Marshawn Lynch, I don't know, man. He's got a lot of tread on the tire. This may be the final. In fact, I'm almost positive. I'd be really surprised that Marshawn Lynch is with the Seattle Seahawks in 2015. So he's, 28 years old. He's not too happy about his contract, even though they just pushed forward some money that they were going to pay him. They didn't give him a raise. They just pushed forward some money.
Because he sees the painting on the wall, too, you know,
mm-hmm.
that next year he's probably not going to be there, so give me my money now.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I see that too, but go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Reggie Bush, T.Y. Hilton, they're probably right around the same thing in running back and wide receiver. He's got second tier, third tier players on his team. He's got second tier, third tier, maybe fourth tier players on his team. One player who was top five last year, and going into 2013 draft, and that was Marshawn Lynch. No one else. That's an issue.
Okay. Well, let's go to the last team, which is, I think it's a pretty good team as well, who's getting grumped. And I see a big problem for him, especially because the players that I'm going to call off, three of them are key players that are going to have the same bye week, week 10. Okay, so here we go. Matt Ryan, Adrian Peterson, Giovanni Bernard, Jordy Nelson, Cordarrelle Patterson, Vernon Davis, the Patriots, Robbie Gould, Chris Johnson, Mike Wallace, Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans, Lamar Miller, Alex Smith.
Now, there's a team. There's a team. I like this guy's team.
I like it as well. However, week 10, he loses AP, Cordero, and the Patriots. And on his bench, let's see who's going to replace AP. He's got Chris Johnson, or he's going to go three wide receivers, or Lamar Miller. Which is, you know, not – Chris Johnson isn't a slouch. You know, I think he's going to actually have a very good year up in New York. I really wish they would put Vic in as opposed to Geno, but you never know the situation up there. But I like the balance of his team. I just don't like the fact that those three players or three key components are going to be missing in week 10, which is a week that can decide whether or not he wins his division or he becomes a wild card. Because I think he's going to make the playoffs. I just think it's going to be It's going to be tough on week 10. I got to see who he plays in week 10, though. Your thoughts?
I like this team. I like he's got a decent quarterback in there. He doesn't have one of the top three or four, but he's got a decent quarterback in there who's going to be in a passing offense. He's got two running backs that are going to be featured in on their respective teams. And this is the thing. You have to think about this. He's got two offensive coordinators that running back that they've had has their numbers have improved. Norv Turner on the Minnesota Vikings with Adrian Peterson and Hugh Jackson with the Cincinnati Bengals with Giovanni Bernard. So I really like the top three. Jordy Nelson was one of the top three or four quarterbacks in Aaron Rodgers that he's thrown to, and he likes throwing to Jordy Nelson without a doubt. Cordarrelle Patterson, Norv Turner already said that he's going to get more plays for Cordarrelle Patterson to succeed, so I really like that. And Vernon Davis, which was the number two scoring in this league tight end last year with Colin Kaepernick. So that's a strong team. That's a very strong team. The Patriots defense is one of the underrated defense. I think they were – I know they were in the top 10. I could have said in the top 5 in turnovers. The Patriots defense did have turnovers last year. Robbie Gould, a solid kicker. The bench, Chris Johnson, Mike Wallace, Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans, Lamar Miller, and Alex Smith to take up the place of Matt Ryan for 1 week. He's got a solid bench. He has a solid bench. He's got two rookie wide receivers that are going to be thrown to, not want to say early and often, more Brandon Cooks than Mike Evans, and expect big things supposedly down in a new offense since they replaced the offensive coordinator down in Miami, even though they're struggling on a rapport. I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill and Mike Wallace. But he's got it's funny because he's got two Miami Dolphins. I don't know if he's a Miami Dolphin fan, but he's got two Miami Dolphins sitting on the bench, the wide receiver and the running back. I like his bench. I mean, they're not as good as the starters, but they can fill in because they're guys that are going to be involved in definitely in the offense. This guy's got a real good shot. Real good shot.
Yeah, he ain't going to beat me. Say that right now.
I'm looking at your team right now. He's got a real good shot.
Well, tell me what you think about my team.
Am I looking at your
team?
Yes, I am looking at your team. You drafted well, Mr. FSP. You drafted well.
All right, let the people know what I got and what you really think about what I did with the 12th pick in a 12-team league.
You want me to rat it off?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you have Robert Griffin III, Le'Veon Bell, Toby Gerhart, Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, Julius Thomas, Cardinals defense, Blair Walsh in Minnesota, Maurice Jones-Drew, Eric Decker, Ben Roethlisberger, Carlos Hyde, Kelvin Benjamin, and you've been listening to me. You got Delanie Walker as your backup tight end. You have a very good team. Your running backs need to pan out. That's for sure. They need to pan out. Le'Veon Bell, I'm not too worried about. Toby Gerhart, first time he's actually being the feature back.
Bell count, yeah.
And so you have to see what's going to happen there. But you got MJD sitting on the bench if he falls flat on his face. But you're weak in running back. You seem like you got decent wide receivers in Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant. Hopefully they don't go down because you got Eric Decker and Kelvin Benjamin, one rookie wide receiver and another wide receiver in a run-heavy offense. So you better help Calvin and Dez do not get hurt. Otherwise, your season may go down.
Don't know what
that means. Excuse me? No. No, well, I'm being fair. I'm just being real here, just like anybody else. If you got these main studs here and you don't have too good of backups on your bench, and if they go down, you're going to be hurting. And that's just you told me you wanted my opinion, and I'm giving you my opinion.
Yes, yes.
And you tell me, now you say you don't want to hear it.
No, you're good. Because week one, I'm going to beat that ass. I'm going to beat that ass like you stole something.
Why you say that? We play each other first week?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we do.
So you're going to lose you're going to lose two ways a Sunday. You're going to lose with the bet we have, and you're going to lose the matchup that we have first week.
Hey, all you got to do is put some money on it if you want to talk about, you know.
No, we got money on it already, so don't even go there. We have a monetary a price that we already put on the matchup for week one, so there's no need to double up on it. Greedy.
Jeff wants to know, is anybody going to watch the Arena Bowl tonight? There's a reality show on AMC about the AFL team owned by the Rock Band Kiss. And I know about it. I know about the team. It's my baby girl's birthday, so I don't know if I'm going to be watching that or watching some little girls scream around running in my living room. Because once we finish the show, I'm going to go downstairs and hang out with my babies and make sure my baby girl has a good 12-year birthday party. So I might do that. It may not be that. Arena Bowl and I like actually that reality show with the football team. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting, man. I thought it was pretty cool. But anyway, that wraps up, ladies and gentlemen, our live draft in Guys with Big Shoes. We're giving a real honest critique of every team. Being critical of all. I mean, I know I have some flaws on my team. I think my bye week is going to hurt me a little bit, but that's only if I have to go to the playoffs and have to play week one. Now, I'm going to look at my team real quick and look at my schedule, and I'll tell you right now, I'm not worried about it. I'm really not, mainly because – Weeks, this ends week 12. Week 12 is the last week for the playoffs. And I end with the last three games being division games. Week 10 is Chicken Asterisk. Week 11 is Texan Thunder, which is Jerry. And then I end with Say Win. And all these teams, I gone over and say, okay, well, maybe they have this, maybe they have that, but I think I'm gonna win the division. I don't think I'm gonna have that much of a difficult time winning the division and making the playoffs. The problem I see here is Jerry Taylor, the current champion, winning the division. So Jerry, what I'm gonna do right now is I want you to tell the people why you think you're gonna defend your title, and when do you plan to ship me the trophy because I'm winning it.
Well, let me put it this way. I think I have a pretty balanced team. My real weakness is my quarterback. That's my real weakness, is my quarterback, because I think I have a very strong bench. But it's a weakness, but I think I can overcome it because the quarterback that I have is in a throwing offense with big plays. And I also have the wide receiver that they consider to be the heir apparent to the number one wide receiver on my bench. If one of my wide receivers, and I'm thinking be Eric Garcon, who has a tendency to get hurt, gets hurt, and I can throw him in there. My team, and I can run down my team, but I think I have a very strong core team, except for my quarterback, who can be shaky. And as I did last year, I made moves with my quarterback. And I think I don't know if I made a trade or two, but off the waiver wire, I picked up Nick Foles, I picked up Nick Foles off the waiver wire early, before anyone else could get him, and rode him to the championship. And I think I can still do it because if my any of my core players, running back and wide receivers, go down, I have an adequate backup to put in this place and not skip a beat. So I'm very confident in my team, extremely confident.
Okay. That's pretty good. So when do you plan on shipping me my trophy?
What, the toilet bowl trophy with the, for the loser? I can do that anytime. Because that's what you are, you're a loser. So I can ship that anytime.
Wow. The hate. The hate.
No hate. Anyway. Just real. I'm rubbing my championship trophy as we speak. It's in my hand. I'm looking at it.
I know, you're polishing it up.
I'm looking at it. It says Jerry 2013, guys with big shoes, Fantasy Football League. Until you have this trophy, you can't really say squat.
Whatever, guy. Not in this league, but this year I will have it. And also in the Fantasy Football League that I run, I will have it. As a matter of fact, if folks vote for the belts, I'm going to start getting those belts made. I think that's kind of cool to have a personalized championship belt that you can have. It's like $200 or whatever. That just means I'm going to cut out one of the payments to somebody or whatever, but we'll see what happens.
Well, that's not cool. Nobody likes to get less money. Nobody likes to get less money.
That is true. That is true. But right now, votes are 4-2 for the belt over the trophy, so we'll see.
What are you going to do about the owners in those two leagues?
Well, Jeff has accepted the team in Yahoo. In ESPN, I am removing two teams. I'm going to do that after we get off the air and make it a two division league and 14 teams.
You have 14 people that are paid? Because last time I saw it, that didn't happen.
No, but I have assurances that it will be paid. And that's the one thing that is keeping those guys in before the draft. Because so it's getting it just before the draft and on the first, because I understand how people's paychecks are. Like Jeff, he's going to jump in to Yahoo, but he can't get me the money on Friday.
You don't have to give me the particulars of that.
Well, I'm just saying that we're going to have 14 in ESPN.
Okay.
That's done. Yahoo, we have 14. Only, I think.
Yeah, Yahoo, we do have 14?
Yeah. Cause Jeff
really?
Took the team. Yeah, Jeff took the team.
Okay.
So we'll get all that taken care of. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we got about 26 minutes left of live air. I'm contemplating playing the Van Horn interview, which is about 24 minutes. No.
Well, how much time you got?
26.
Well, if you want to play it and go off the air, is that what you want to do?
Yeah, unless you have something you want to talk about. We have time. We don't have to go to the interview.
Well, let me clue you this. I'm gonna tell you on air. I'm probably text you after off air, but time constraints are very. I have time constraints tomorrow. I got three drafts tomorrow. One starting at 12:00. So that means I have to leave here for at least a half hour before that. So I don't know what your schedule is for tomorrow. But
you need a host?
Well, let me put it this way: I probably need you to take over host. I can start the show. We're talking about running backs. I can start the show, but to end the show, depending on how long it's going to go, and usually it's been going on for over 2 hours, I can't say for the end of the show.
That's fine. I got you, brother. Just shoot me your listing so I can go over your listing.
Okay.
So it's not my listing of running backs because I don't want to mess up what you have planned, because of course our running back rankings are slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have no problem with that guy. Call me shortly before the show starts to wake me up, and then I'll get on there and do what I got to do, bro.
Okay. We have to get
Lance
on board so he can be able to take over and use the board.
Yes. I've got that plan. I'm going to reach out to him this week.
Okay.
So that's easy.
No problem. So all if right. you want to play, otherwise than that, if you want to play, this is your show, man. You want to play it, go right ahead.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to talk about something else, bro, let me know. I mean, I have no problem.
No. Like I said, it's not a problem. It's not a problem.
Okay.
This is your show, man.
UFC is my other topic, and I know you don't like talking about that. So there's no use
MMA?
In me talking to myself. Yes. There's no use in me talking about it for 24 minutes to myself, since you're not going to answer anything. But I want to say something. Last night there was a red carpet event where they did the Expendables. And Ronda Rousey's in the Expendables 3, that is. And there's some video of her hugging and talking with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. And all you can see is Arnold Schwarzenegger looking at her backside like, and I can't blame him. I can't blame him. When Ronda Rousey's talking about the dress she's wearing, she refers to herself. Now, I'm not making this up. She refers to herself. She says, I'm not a skinny Asian. I am.
She's not a what?
A skinny Asian, because the dress wasn't designed. I mean, the dress that they were trying to give her were for small, skinny people. So she says, I'm not a skinny Asian. I'm more of a white chocolate type figure. I was like, yes, Lord, you are. So when she said that, wow, I was like, oh, man. But anyway, that was something interesting I wanted to bring up real quick. That, yes, Ronda Rousey, she knows who she is, and she's a bad girl.
You know, I saw, let me preface this. I saw Ronda Rousey, and you're probably going to make fun of the show I saw on, but that's okay. I saw Ronda Rousey on the show that Joan Rivers hosts about
mm-hmm.
the fashion, whatever it is, I forget what they call it, I forget her name, just two other females and a male that are on there, and they talk about fashion and what celebrities, mainly women, wear to different events. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not. And Ronda Rousey happened to be the guest on the show. And you are so right.
you are so right.
She is white chocolate through and through.
Oh, yeah. She referred to herself as that. I didn't. She did.
Yeah, that's what I'm the
but
same.
I will concur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank y'all for listening. To end today's show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play an interview. It's about 24 minutes long of Keith Van Horn. I conducted it earlier this week for the FSP Crew Show, one of our sister shows. And I just want you guys to hear what he says about the NCAA, how the NCAA is going to change, and how there are some significant difficulties that they're going to face. There are tons of topics that we discussed, his career in college, you know, being a father and being a student athlete, a high-profile student athlete as well, and some programs he's involved in. So with that being said, JT, you got anything you want to say before we get out of here or before I play this interview?
No, I'm going to be mailing that list shortly after we get off the air here.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been real. We're going to go to this interview right now. And thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. We're every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Sundays, we have the Master Plan at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Thursdays, we have FSP Pro Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Returning in a week or so, should be, is Matt with No Chaser at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And starting September 8th, the Extra Point with Lance Goodman, the NFL exporter. So we got a lot of stuff planned for you guys. And all this can be listened to 24/7, 365 over at spotonradio.webs.com. Again, that's spotonradio.webs.com. We're streaming 24/7, 365, great information and motivation for you. So take a listen. You'll enjoy it. And everything is brought to you by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today, place your wagers, so you can get paid. Okay? All right. Let's go to that Keith Van Horn interview, and it starts right now.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's me. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, and I'm doing a special, special edition of Fantasy Sports and Politics crew show. Today, we have the honor and privilege of talking with former NBA forward, Mr. Keith Van Horn. He's going to talk to us today about his organization. And we're going to jump into some other topics if possible. But right now, let me bring in Mr. Van Horn. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling in, and thanks for being a part of the show. First of all, I got to pass on a couple of fan things here. A couple of my coworkers, big fans of yours, and they wanted to say hi. I told them the only way they can do that is if they gave me a question, so they did, so now I'm saying hi for them.
all right.
We're going to jump right into it here. I know your time is limited, and I know you just got out of a meeting, so I don't want to keep you too long. Let's talk about your organization. What is it about, where it's located, and how can somebody get involved?
Yeah, so when I moved out to the Denver area after I retired from the NBA, I started doing a lot of just youth basketball coaching within the community, and we kind of established a little bit of a following, and finally got to the point where there were so many kids wanting to get involved and get taught by myself and the coaches that I was working with that, you know, we formalized an organization several years ago called Colorado Premier Basketball Club, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. And what we're about is really teaching the game the right way, the way it was meant to be played, ball movement, defense, rebounding, and then also really promoting some of the lessons that you can learn as a youth playing sports about life that can benefit them going forward. I was fortunate enough to play in the NBA and to have a long career, but the fact is most people aren't going to become a professional athlete, and if we can use basketball as a tool to just help them develop as individuals, I think it's a great thing to be able to do.
Of course. A lot of kids nowadays, and men for that matter, need to grow up and to give them an outlet, a positive outlet,
as well as maybe hone some skills. And one thing that I noticed as well, Mr. Van Horn, is the guys that stay in the NBA the longest are the guys that aren't the biggest stars. Meaning, let's say we have a guy that played 15, 16 years because he was able to do everything. He wasn't the best at it, but he could play defense solidly. He could be a solid scorer or something like that. If you can get some of these fundamentals in with these kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, that serves a big, big step, and at least giving them that foundation to be successful in the game and in life.
Well, and you have a situation today when in youth basketball that's kind of predominant in that they're really trying to emulate the NBA game, and it's a difficult as a youth to imitate that. Number one, you obviously don't have the skill yet. Or the understanding of the game yet to do that, but it's just it isn't realistic, and it creates a scenario where, you know, you have one kid who's doing a lot of one on one, and you know the emphasis is way too much on scoring, when in reality, you know, there's so many different aspects of the game, like you alluded to, defense and rebounding and you know, setting good screens and being a good teammate, besides just, you know, trying to score the ball and deal with one-on-one isolations, that, you know, it's much better that they learn to be a well-rounded player than just focus on becoming a scorer or a driver or a ball handler, and it's just, you know, it's unfortunate, and I think, you know, hopefully the NBA will, you know, slowly move to more of a model where, you know, you see more ball movement and you see less dribbling, kind of similar to, you know, the way the game was played, you know, during the Magic and Bird era where, man, they used to get up and down the court with one, two passes and the ball wouldn't touch the floor, and
yeah.
You know, the way that they moved and the way that they all can pass and they could all do multiple things. I think it's much more enjoyable of a game to watch from a fan's perspective than just watching endless isolations.
I agree. Totally agree. It goes back to
and you know what, the Spurs kind of embodied it in the playoffs this year, right? I mean, gosh, they were moving the ball around like a college team, and man, I mean, they put on a clinic. And you know, it's interesting that more teams aren't, you know, maybe they will after they saw the success of the Spurs, but it's amazing that more teams don't try to emulate that.
I totally agree with you 100%. I was with a bunch of folks that were diehard Heat fans, all LeBron and Wade, they're going to crush them. I'm like, no, they're not. They're a team of individuals. The Spurs is a team, and they
mm-hmm.
play team basketball. And that's, you know, something that I wanted to jump into, and you segued right into it. But before I do that, because I don't want to forget why we're talking here, tell folks the website that your organization where they can go and get more information about your organization.
Yeah, our website is www.coloradopremierbasketball.com. Our Twitter handle is at Colorado Premier. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Colorado Premier as well. And you know, we're in the coming years looking to expand and you know, get into other cities and other markets with our model. So, you know, if any of those folks have an interest in getting involved, give us a holler.
Oh, most definitely. I know several folks, and I'm going to pass that on myself. But back to what we're talking about. Oh, not a problem. We're here to help each other. Network. The whole fundamental thing, AAUs and stuff like that, here's my belief. I don't know what you believe, and that's why I'm going to ask you the question. I believe these young men and some women, because they don't get the option to go straight to the WNBA, they need to go to college. They need to go to college,
mm-hmm.
and I understand it's somewhat of a farm system. I got it. But they need to go to college to experience the life, one. Number two, understand what team basketball is on a high level. What are your thoughts on that? And a follow-up to that question is your fondest memories of playing in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when it comes to college, I think, it should be, you know, education should be number one in all of these kids' minds, because, you know, you got to remember, there's, you know, you look at the top 100 kids coming out of high school, well, you know, probably less than 15% of those actually make the NBA, whereas, you know, all of them actually think they're going to ultimately make the NBA. So it's still a relatively small percentage every year who are able to break in. And then, you know, you add in the fact that the European players continue to grow and grow and grow, and you know, and the NBA franchises are looking more and more outside of the United States for talent. I think you're going to see that number decrease. So I think that needs to be number one, because you just as a
hello,
the game a little bit, right? It's just the odds are not in your favor. Even if you're a top 20 kid, just the odds still aren't all that great. So I absolutely agree with you. An education should be number one. Now, as it relates to the game of basketball, man, I'll tell you what, the NCAA is in a unique position right now. You know, you have the Ed O'Bannon case. You have the situation where the top five power conferences are now kind of getting autonomy over the decisions they make. And now, you know, they just get this ruling that, you know, with Ed O'Bannon, that, you know, they're really not student athletes, that they have the ability to get paid. The Northwestern case where the Northwestern football players were granted the ability to form a union. I don't know. I'm not quite sure that the NCAA is going to exist in the fashion that it is today, 10 years from now. I mean, it may be a situation where, you know, the United States ultimately goes to kind of the European club model. You know, if you look at the baseball model today, that isn't great in terms of education for youth, because those kids go to AAA, AA, single A, then they miss out on the college experience. They miss out on the ability right out of high school to start getting your college education. So I think it's going to be really interesting what happens. And, it'll be interesting to see if what happens ends up being beneficial for the kids, or kind of beneficial to the business interests that are kind of aligned with college sports and sports in general.
I couldn't agree with you any further, because you're hitting it right on the money. And that goes back to what one of the questions was. The question actually came from Ernie Cornwell. Experience, you know, experiencing the college life. You had an opportunity to experience it with Coach Rick Majerus. And he wanted to know two things. One, how was your experience with him? And two, the Final Four appearance. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, so Coach Majerus was, to me, the best X's and O's coach that I ever played for. In terms of a purist, he absolutely had the best basketball mind of anybody that I played for. Now, you know, I was fortunate to play for a lot of Hall of Fame coaches in my career, and you know, you had a guy like Don Nelson, who I played for, who was unbelievably creative and innovative, and it was great to learn, you know, those things from him and kind of look at how he looked at the game differently. But certainly Majerus kind of molded, you know, my thoughts and philosophy on the game and how it should be played, and was a big influence on and off the court. I was fortunate enough my senior year to in the NCAA tournament, we actually got to the Elite Eight. The year after I was gone, they made it to the Final Four. My junior year, we were in the Sweet 16. My senior year, we were in the Elite Eight, and those tournament runs are are a lot of fun, and you know, those are some great memories. And you know, I really feel like, you know, if Andre Miller hadn't broken his hand in the Elite Eight, that I really feel like we would have had a really good shot at winning the national championship. But you know, some of those things like injuries you can't control, and you know, we did our best with what we had.
Oh, of course. And you brought up Andre Miller, who plays for my favorite team, the Wizards, or he did last year. He's still in the league. And a question that's where we're going to, because one of my co-hosts, Jeff Goldberg, he asked the question, you retired. And somehow, some way, the Mavericks traded you. How did that happen, and did you get any residuals from that, or was it just a matter of numbers, or what happened with that?
Well, at that point, I actually hadn't, like, officially retired. It was more of I decided to take a year off and really, really decide if, you know, it would be feasible to – with my family life and, you know, my daughter going into middle school, and if there was any situations that would actually make sense for me to continue to play. You know, so I had been in discussions and with the Mavericks and the Nuggets kind of throughout that year to, you know, trying to get me to potentially come back and come on and help their teams. And so what happened is you had that trade deadline, and I technically was still on the with the Dallas Mavericks in terms of rights, and they made the trade for Jason Kidd, and I went to New Jersey and started to work out, and you know, we just decided that it wasn't, you know, in the cards. I just it was really just too difficult on my family and what, you know, I was trying to do with them. You know, I think I was in a unique position in that I had kids early. And so, you know, my kids, when I was, you know, entering my ninth year in the NBA, were, you know, 13 and 11. And at that point, you know, I had spent most of their early life just traveling and doing the, you know, having to do the NBA travel thing. And, you know, just I didn't want to put my kids through that with moving and trades, and you know, once they get into the middle school, high school age, I mean, you want to make sure they have some stability and they're able to develop those friendships that are important, especially with girls. You know, they're really relationship oriented, and it was just too difficult. So, you know, it all worked out for the best, and you know, Jason Kidd, I think, really helped Dallas, you know, win that championship and kind of put them over the top. So I was happy for Dirk and Jason Terry, both great guys who work really hard. I mean, Dirk is a workhorse, and I feel like, you know, he really deserved that, as much hard work as he put into the game.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm trying to find something to disagree with you on. I can't. I want to debate, but you said something, and it brought up a question that my co-worker. I'm in the military, by the way, and I understand that traveling thing. All right, so my kids, they are going through the same thing. My daughter turns 12 on Saturday, and we're about to move because my time where I'm at now is up. But I have no idea where we're going. So I understand completely. But my buddy, Rob Edward, he wanted to know what was it like, and how hard was it for you to be a parent and a high-profile student athlete at Utah? I mean, that had to be difficult, especially monetarily. And I'm not trying to implicate nothing. I'm not saying anything like that. Don't want you to think that. But how difficult was that for you?
Yeah, you know, sometimes when you're in situations, you kind of just get into the mindset that you're going to make it work. You're going to figure out a way to make it work no matter what. And you just, you know, you just go and you do it. And so, you know, I'm more of a doer. And so I got it done. You know, we ended up getting some grants through the university to kind of help with living costs, and you know, obviously had my scholarship, which helped out, and you know, we were just able to make it work, and sometimes it's just what you got to do in life. You just got to strap up and get it done.
Oh yeah, most definitely. It is difficult at times when you have to make that tough decision. Do I want to buy myself this, or do I want to take care of my family? What is the end goal here? You know, do I want to make the NBA, or do I want to be one of those guys that's a college great but didn't make it that far? I submit to you that you were a very pure shooter. Were you a power forward, small forward, or were you just an overall basketball player? Did you want to classify yourself, or how did you want to answer that question?
Yeah, I would say I probably fit more of a small forward role, you know, especially early in my career. And then I kind of migrated into more of a power forward role. But, you know, I would just consider myself a forward, and I felt like I could be effective at either of the positions.
All right. Mr. Van Horn, I know you've got to go, and I've taken a lot of your time already. Last question, only because you brought it up, the Ed O'Bannon case. I'm surprised you're not a part of it, because you were one of those players in NCAA that, you know, people would recognize. They'd get the utes just for you and Mr. Miller. What are your thoughts on it, and why haven't you or did you not join that cause?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a situation where there's a bunch of other players involved in the case. It's more of a situation where the individuals filing the case needed at least one player, you know, on the lawsuit to be a part of the case in order for them to be able to move forward with the suit. And I don't know all the details, but somehow it ended up being Ed O'Bannon. And to really what extent that the case will be able to affect former players, you know, I really don't know, and I don't think it's going to have any impact really financially or anything on former players. I think it's everything moving forward, and I think it's a fascinating case, because it's, you know, you have that with the Northwestern, and you have the five power conference autonomy case situation, and I think that it's really showing some flaws in the foundation of how the NCAA is set up and what it's really meant to do. It's really difficult, actually, to mix academics and athletics, and you know, especially when you have really talented people generating a lot of income for different organizations. It's a really difficult mix, and I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to make it mix.
It's a subject matter that we've talked about a lot on all of our programs. I agree with you. It's going to fall at some point. It has to, because too many young men and women are, you know, used to make billions and billions of dollars and see nothing other than maybe, a little money for food or what have you. But, again, I thank you for your perspective on that. I know you got to go. So one last time, tell folks the name of your organization, how they can get in touch with you, and how they can help.
Yeah, it's ColoradoPremierBasketball.com. And they can contact us if they have any questions or want to get involved at all right there on the website. They just click the contact us button, or they can hook up with us through any of our social media outlets at our Twitter handles at Colorado Premier, and same with Instagram and Facebook. So we'd love to hear from everyone.
All right. I want to thank you again, Mr. Van Horn. You have a great day. Go out there and teach some young kids some stuff, and you know, pass it on, so to speak. You know, somebody did something good for you, pass on to somebody else.
I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
All right, have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the NBA.